You're listening to the Brighton Business Show on FM 97.2, on digital, online and on podcast, available from Spotify, Audioboom, Mixcloud and anywhere else you can think of. Now, Blue Planet has sparked a rejuvenation in environmental concern, especially over plastic waste. And here in Brighton, ethical businesses have been part of the landscape for decades. And we're about to hear some very exciting projects that are happening right on the doorstep. So I'd like to welcome our guests, Mark Civola from Potter's Thumb, which is a studio here in the open market. Welcome to the Business Show, Mark.
Thank you.
And Steve Creed, who's a sustainability coach, used to work for RAP. So we'll hear what RAP is in a little while, because that's quite an important organisation in this space. But first, Steve, what is important about sustainability for businesses? Why should businesses be thinking about this?
Well, I mean, I think that the thing about sustainability is that we're going to run out of stuff at some point in time. And if you're in a business where you're using resources, and that's the case in most businesses, you're going to have a way of coping with the fact that at some point there will not be any resources left to use. So if you're interested in a long-term, and I mean really long-term here, business or model, then obviously sustainability is the way to go.
So what are the risks to a business that doesn't think about this? Because it's no longer a nice to have, is it?
No, it's not. It's something that I think everyone has to think about. And the challenge here is, where do you start? So if you're interested in being sustainable, then you probably need to address the three key components of it, which are all about not using up resources too quickly, or producing products that might damage the environment, and most importantly as well, not exploiting society. So, you know, you need to pay your staff the right amount of money, and you need to not take advantage of, say, child labor in the third world. So those are the things you need to do. The opportunities, though, are really great, I think. So, for example, the Ellen MacArthur Foundation's estimated that if you were to adopt a circular economy approach, which is a way of looking at how you become a sustainable business, the EU could save $380 billion annually.
Say that again.
$380 billion annually if they adopted a certain more circular economy approach in some of the major consumer products. So, I mean, it's there for business, and it's all about them thinking how they can go about taking advantage of that opportunity.
So there are some cracking examples of circular economy approaches in Brighton and Hove, ways of reusing resources. And Mark, you've been right at the forefront of this recently with a very interesting new development. Can you tell us about
yes.
it?
Well, it's been, I think, the beginning of this year where I received a call from Doug from Silo.
So Silo is a restaurant here
in
the city, isn't it?
Yeah, Silo is a zero-waste restaurant in Brighton. It's unique, I think, to the UK. And with this project that we're doing, we'll actually, we believe, makes it unique in the world as well, where there's a whole full circle of everything that's used within the restaurant itself. So the idea of having no waste whatsoever, but also there's a bit of a misconception with recycling, because obviously the project we're working on is recycling the glass, which is the only thing that goes in a bin in Silo. And that's
so he's already got Doug McMaster, who runs Silo, has already sort of closed the loop on lots of the things that are used in the restaurant.
But
the glass was the sort of last bastion.
Yes, that was the last thing that Doug wanted to get rid of in his restaurant, or to fulfill his mission on zero waste, and that was the wine bottles. Obviously, he does bring in four different wines, I believe. I'm not sure. I will have to leave that to Doug to confirm. But that he gets them by sale directly to Brighton, so that not only reduces the carbon footprint, but also reduces all the other bottles and other stuff that comes with waste, if you want to mm-hmm. call it that. So that's always bugged Doug. I got this call and said, Mark, you know, I'm looking at glass and how can we reuse the glass. And coming back to what we're saying about the recycling misconception is that there's a large carbon footprint to recycle glass, which was quite, you know, as we did our research and everything else, we were quite shocked of how much energy is consumed to what we believe is being a green exercise of recycling something, but actually we are burning much more fuel to have that back into circulation. So the idea was to crush to get the machine that crushes these bottles.
Oh, I see. So you're taking the glass bottles and putting them through your machine.
Yes. So we get them back into sand, and then after that we'll reduce the size of the grains into much finer sand, so that would be more almost like a talc. And with that, then we will be making some stuff with that glass as well. Using
what kind of things can you make with it?
Everything, really.
So tell me a bit more about your potter's studio, because you already make a lot of.
So I've been. Well, my mum is a potter. And that's kind of how I've inherited this passion that I have. So at a young age, I remember my year one teacher calling up my mum saying, well, I think he's got some calling. So my mum took that really well, and she pushed me as far as I am today.
Oh, great,
really.
Mum.
Thank you. I'm one of six, so that was a lot. And a full-time potter as well. You know, at the time, you know, we were looking back at the early 80s, you know, she also had to combat the whole thing of being the only female potter as well. So that was quite a challenge, I think, and which she successfully achieved and set up a lot of ceramicists, you know, today in Malta, where I'm from originally, who are now well-established studio potters in their own rights as well. So it's quite nice to see that legacy at least carrying on, especially since my mum now is no longer capable of creating pottery due to dementia, which is another topic we should talk about one day.
There's so much to talk about.
Oh, too much.
So you've got your own studio here in the open market, and you make things for businesses, really.
Yes, everything is hand thrown, so I'm what you would call a production thrower, and I'm trying to work on a mission of making hand thrown pottery affordable to both the industry and people who would like to have handmade pottery in their own home. I think pottery at some point completely detached from being something that you can use every day to something that being a luxury, something that possibly doesn't even get used anymore. So even though you're doing functional stuff, it ends up in a showcase and you don't get to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came here, obviously to establish myself as well, and I think Silo was my first customer in Brighton, and from there on we always had this good working relationship as well as a friendship, and this is coming, you know, full loop again when Doug called me early this year and said, what can we do with this glass and how can we reuse it in a good way. So we, at the moment, we've processed this glass, which has come out with like a porcelain-like material. I'm just holding one right in front of me.
Yes, let's
now.
Have
I'll
a look at
over
this.
To you.
Oh, very nice. It's very smooth, like
a
really fine porcelain.
Yes, I was very surprised. So I think even the approach of how we process the whole material and the firings and everything was really looking at it from the perspective of a potter as well. So I think not having all the training or all the backgrounds of a glassmaker, but actually just as a potter, which these two subjects are related. You know, you got silica, you got alumina. All these parts are what makes up clay and glass and glazes and all the stuff. So it was an interesting subject to take on, and through the process that we've created, we've also discovered, you know, because we've come up with such a unique way of processing this glass, that we also reduced the energy down to 80%.
Because that's the big challenge, isn't it? Once you start processing glass, it's very energy intensive.
And not only that, and also the waste. So there's like a waste mold that you use in glass, which is normally, you know, like large chunks and lots of weight of plaster and other stuff that you'd use to encase the glass, which normally just goes into a bin like it would be if you're casting bronze or anything else. That's a waste mold that just gets chucked away. But also adapting pottery ceramics to hold in everything, again, reduces all that waste. So I think, you know, we really were on brief. And we really saw how we first could use that material. Not only this porcelain glass thing is one of the stages, we're also looking at reintroducing the glass into the clay and also using the glass as a glaze. So there are all different facets as well that we'll be looking into.
Different techniques, different applications for what you're doing.
And really the mission is how can we use this to its maximum as well? So we're getting this product, this material, back into being a raw material. And that was the challenge, which is really exciting.
And so is this the first then? Are we talking sort of UK first, perhaps?
It pretty much. When we spoke to the crowdfunding company, which we raised, I believe, to get the machinery and everything on a non-profit basis, I think we raised about £9,000 in about 4.5 weeks or something
Fantastic.
Like that. So that was a really good response, and there's a lot of interest in the public. This obviously makes Silo now unique in the world for everything is, it does a full circle within a restaurant. But I think we took it on more as trying to set an example, which I believe Doug and Silo has been doing for a long
Absolutely.
Time, because to be in a catering business and say, I will go down the hard way and not and only source products or anything that's going to be served within inside my restaurant that does not have any environmental impacts, like lots of plastic packagings and you know, obviously the glass. There's absolutely no bins in Silo. And to stick to that, to your guns for, well, it's now 4 years, I believe.
And he's not just in Brighton, he's expanded to London too, hasn't
he? Well, yeah, I mean, there's a Cub now, which is a venture between Silo, Doug, and Ryan, who has Dandelion in Mondrian on the South Bank. Master genius of cocktails, by the way, if you ever want a good drink.
I'll be there.
And yeah, so that's the project now is also gone into London, taking the same ethos with them over there as well.
Fantastic. Thank you. So I'm Natasha Steele. I'm in the Radio Reverb studio with Mark Chivalo from Potter's Thumb and Steve Creed, a sustainability coach. And we've been hearing about a world breaking technology that's happening here in Brighton and Hove, glass recycling at Silo restaurants. Mark, we were just hearing about how you have created this pottery from crushed glass, basically. It's helped from crushed glass. Really interesting. But how long will it be before we're drinking out of glass recycled ceramics?
Long now. I mean, we've raised the funds that we've been aiming for through Crowd to Fund. It was a project that was running for about 4 weeks, just above more than 4 weeks. It closed at 9,000, so we've got enough to get the machinery, maybe just add a little bit more from our own funds and complete the mission. And because, yeah, it's obviously we started it, well, it is a non-profit project that we have, and it is to set in a way some kind of an example as well that it is possible. And using Doug's words again, you know, it's we believe that waste equals zero imagination, and I think if you have that imagination, that creativity and the will to do it, there is a way.
I mean, there's a competitive sense, you know, can you, you know, in Silo, I want to be the restaurant that goes first on this, and he's achieved it.
Yes,
and by bringing in people like yourselves on all aspects of the business.
Well, I think, you know, obviously I can't speak on behalf of Silo, but working with Doug and knowing how he works and everything, he's got a lot of collaborations with a lot of people. That's what makes the restaurant so great. So whether they are farmers themselves growing in a an eco way, whether it is foragers, so it's all these ways, and it allows him to get his food into the restaurant without any sort of packaging as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was attending a couple of circular economy events in the last few weeks, and that seems to be the strongest message, this collaboration. You really need to work with a lot of people to make this work.
Yes.
And to find the resources to use, the places for the products to go that you've created. So it is about amazingly strong networks, the sustainability piece. What do you think about that,
No,
Steve?
I definitely agree with that. I mean, in history, mankind survived because we worked together rather than as individual groups. So it's kind of built into our DNA. But I think the other thing you want to consider is the fact that it's a systems challenge. You know, the whole concept of circular, meaning kind of a closed loop, is identified as a system, kind of like in nature again, where things go around. They don't just go one way. And so you have to bring in lots of partners in different parts of the system. So there might be somebody designing things to make it possible to take them apart and reuse them, or it might be somebody with a new business model where, for example, there's somebody runs something called Rendezvous, which is a high fashion end op shop in London, but also a platform where people can share their expensive clothes with each other and hence massively reduce the cost of wearing designer clothes.
And you were telling me about a lovely project to do with jean recycling.
Oh, yeah, there's a company called Mud Jeans, where basically you buy your jeans from them, and then if they get torn or damaged, you take them back, they'll repair them for you. And at the end of that usage life, the one you've had with the jeans, they'll take the jeans back and give you a discount on the next pair. And then they'll refurbish them and sell them to people. I mean, nowadays, I see lots of... in fact, I saw them on the train today, young people, as I was coming in. And they all seem to wear jeans that are all torn up anyway. So I could probably wear the jeans for 5 years and then give them to them. They wouldn't have to do anything to them and somebody would want them. It's a huge opportunity there.
Absolutely. And just to wrap up here, really... what other resources are available if somebody wants to move on sustainability in their business, if they've not really thought about it before and they don't even know where to start? How can they start to think about it?
I guess it depends. You know, I think that Mark's business, very small, using a crowdfunding is a great idea. If you're looking for ideas, there's something called Green Econet, which is a website, www.greeneconet.eu, which has got loads of resources available. There's also... the Circular Economy Club, which has a branch in Brighton that meets once a month during most of the year. If you're interested in that, check it out at www.circulareconomyclub.com. And obviously, I used to work for an organization called RAP, you mentioned earlier. That's a Waste Resource Action Program. We did a great deal of work on new business models. So if you want to look at that, that's at www.rebus.eu.com. And if you're looking at funding, obviously very small amounts, crowdfunding. Early stage, another place to look is something called Innovate UK, a government organization that funds early startup and research. They've just launched a £4 million fund focusing on reducing plastic waste. Have a look at that. You can
Very
find
topical.
That by searching. And then if you're interested in a more business approach, like a VC kind of backing, there's lots of them about. One of them I think you might want to investigate is called Mustard Seed. They're really into people that want to make a difference. They've backed... for example, Olio, and I noticed just outside there's an Olio collection box, which is a basically a web-based platform that allows peer-to-peer sharing of excess food. And then if you're into the really big business side of things, there's the Circular Economy Capital Fund, which is run by Circularity Capital. I think you might have had...
Yeah, I've had something to do with them in a different
sense,
world.
Yeah.
they're based in Edinburgh, I think.
They're based in Edinburgh, but they're investing quite big. They're sort of private equity. So there's lots of things, lots of places to go and get any useful information if you want to have a go.
That's top advice, Steve. Thanks ever so much. And Mark, where can people find you if they need... pottery for their restaurant, or...?
Yeah, well, definitely here, well, at the pottery, at Potter's Thumb, there at www.potterstham.com, if you want to reach me there, and also if you want to keep track of us on social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, it's Potter's Thumb. And, yeah, just check us out and keep checking in to see what we're going to come up with this class, which is now pretty much about to launch the stuff that we'll be creating with it very soon.
And we'll be able to try it out at Silo, I guess.
Definitely.
And Steve, if people need to get a hold of you...
They can get me, if you want to send me an email, I'm steve@sustainabilitycoach.co.uk, or you can follow me on Twitter, I'm @steve_ecocoach.
Great stuff. So thank you ever so much, both of you, for coming into the studio. Fascinating
thank
conversation.
You.
Mark Chivala from Potter's Thumb and sustainability coach Steve Creed. And Mark, I asked you to choose a tune that inspires you in your work, and you chose a whole album, which I haven't really got time to play, but I'll play one track. It's Dimitri from Paris, isn't
Correct,
it?
Correct, yeah.
Why
this? He's got my back whenever I'm... busy getting the production throwing going, so he's just, yeah, I mean, obviously he's been around now for, well, I think his first album came out in 2000, and yeah, it's just happy tunes, and it's the energy that comes out of that music that fills my pottery with pots.
Great stuff. This is Dimitri from Paris with Star from the Night at the Playboy Mansion album. Staying with the sustainability theme, here's some news. Community Wood Recycling was named Wood Recycling Business of the Year in May. The award was for excellence in recycling and waste management. And Community Wood Recycling are a nationwide network of social enterprises started in Brighton and Hove 15 years ago by Richard Mehmet. Well done, Richard. And in 2017 to 18, employment and training for 180 staff, 600 trainees and a lot of volunteers saved over 18,000 tons of wood, which was sold to the community for DIY use and made into recycled goods. And locally, you can find the scheme at stores in Elder Place, Brighton, and at Emmaus in Port Slade. Brighton is fast emerging as the UK's hub for entrepreneurial activity. The city now boasts the UK's highest proportion of creative small and medium-sized businesses, given the size of it. A new report looking into the strengths of the UK's business landscape has discovered five emerging capitals of business, and Brighton shines as startup capital. Well, that's no surprise given what we've been hearing here today. The report's published by Lloyds Bank National Business Awards and highlights towns and cities that offer distinct advantages, helping to drive success and growth. The average Brighton firm employs just seven people, and impressive startup support networks mean they have an 87% survival rate. That's pretty good going. So well done, all those hard-working startups in Brighton, and onwards and upwards to greater success. And here's an event for you guys. Entrepreneurial Leaders Live is aimed at small business owners and entrepreneurs in Sussex and beyond. There are sessions on breaking the mould, burnout prescription and slipping and sliding on the glass ceiling. Sounds like fun. It's organised by local businesswoman Helen Packham. She says, "I meet so many small business owners and entrepreneurs struggling to differentiate themselves from their competitors. The event focuses on helping them use their stories to stand out, make an impact and win more business." So Entrepreneurial Leaders Live, taking place 28th, 29th of June at the Harbour Hotel on the seafront. And visit helenpackham.com for more information on that.
Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb.
Now it's time for Going Up. I love this bit of the show. It's where local businesses come into the studio to pitch their wares. It's based on the idea of an elevator pitch. When you're in the lift with someone who could give you an amazing opportunity and you've only got 60 seconds until you get to the next floor. So first into the lift today is Alexandra Ehrman. Are you ready to step into the Business Show elevator and tell us about your business?
I am.
Off you go.
If you're looking for a bit of non-screen entertainment that entertains all ages and makes you fiendishly clever at the same time, look no further. I'm Alex Ehrman, and my company History Heroes makes award-winning card games about who made history, how and when. There are 9 different games at present, 40 of the greatest characters in each theme. Themes including inventors, kings and queens, women in history. The idea is you try and win the cards by guessing who the characters are from the facts read out on them. You can play all ages from 8 to 80 plus in the same game at completely different levels. You can start off very gentle, you can end up viciously competitive. The UK board game industry is a multi-million pound one, which has increased 35% in the last year. We're in over 80 UK stockists currently. We've exported to 4 different continents, and the Science Museum has just officially licensed 2 of our existing games. We're making 2 new Science Museum licensed games this autumn. We're very excited about the future, and we're always looking for new customers and new retailers.
Fantastic pitch from Alex there. Thank you very much. How was it in the elevator?
It was good. I was suddenly panicking towards the end that I was getting everything in, but it was great. It's great to have the opportunity.
Great stuff. And next into the lift is Wesley Goh. Wesley, are you ready to start your pitch?
Yes, I am.
Off you go.
Good afternoon to you. I'm Wesley. I work as a solicitor at Good Law Solicitors. Every Saturday, I will go to amazing place called Calvary International Cafe to help out to make international feel welcome at this cafe. We are a charity and we have a wide variety of different program each Saturday, and it's ranging from team building to entertainment like karaoke and stuff like that. Yeah, we start at 7 p.m. and finish at 10 p.m. and this cafe is free and is run by volunteers.
Fantastic pitch there from Wesley from the Calvary Cafe. Thanks ever so much. Thanks for coming onto the show, both of you. And Alex, I love horrible histories. Is this where the idea for History Heroes came from?
No, not exactly. In fact, I have to give credit to this was originally the idea of a history teacher who has now gone on. In fact, it all comes back to Brighton. He's now gone on to be headmaster at Brighton College Pre-Prep. And I think the idea, and certainly my feeling of the idea, is just to spread history, make it fun, make it engaging. I suppose from that point of view, it's quite similar to Probable Histories, but it's different.
And have you got a history background yourself, or are you a game designer? What's your own background?
I originally had a kind of history background, television, journalism, so always interested in facts, knowledge, research, and kind of segued into running a company and then picked up History Heroes, and here we are.
And you're doing fantastically. These connections with museums and everything, I can just imagine these flying out of the gift shops coming up to Christmas.
Well, they are fantastic stocking fillers, let's be honest, and they're also great little just extra gifts. We've only just recently joined up with the Science Museum, and that's really exciting.
And Wesley, about the Calvary Cafe, how did you first get involved?
Well, I got involved in August 2013. And when I joined the cafe, it was a small, insignificant cafe. And later on, gradually, it started to grow because I advised our team leader, Ben Alltimes, to basically include other international to run the program, like country nights. You know, we have Swiss nights, we had...
Country music nights, so you bring musicians in?
No, for country nights, we... country nights, that means we... get to know some student from different countries. So basically they'll host the event for the evening, like for example Swiss night, they will, you know, do a short presentation of where is Switzerland and the culture in Switzerland, and also they'll prepare some Swiss snacks or sometimes food, and we'll play Swiss game. Yeah.
You can travel the world while in the Calvary Cafe.
I tell you, this cafe is really, really amazing because it's just bringing the world into one place.
Is it a good place to learn languages?
It's an opportunity for, not only language students, but for, British people who wants to meet international. This place is fantastic to have this kind of culture exchange, and also for language students to improve their English by speaking with native speakers. Yeah.
And is it connected to a church? Or do you have to have a religious faith to be part of it?
As for this cafe, it's nothing to do with the church or It's nothing. Well, we don't have like church stuff going on over there, but we are supported by Calvary Evangelical Church. We got the venue. We are supported by the church, and the program is purely social, nothing to do with the church or faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if someone is interested, people can ask, but we are not preaching the faith at the cafe.
Anybody's welcome from any background.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And Alex, I was just wondering about a bit more about History Heroes here. What sort of challenges did you have in getting your business off the ground? I mean, this is the hard part, isn't it?
It is. We've been very lucky, or I've been very lucky in the sense that they've been fantastically received. We brought out the first four games in the summer of 2014, and very soon after, the games won a Best Toy Design Award from Junior Magazine.
Fantastic.
That was a great leg up. And then it's been a lot of hard graft of getting them out there, telling people about them, selling them, and it's just grown, that's the fantastic bit. But it is definitely, you know, one foot in front of the other, getting them out there.
And you've been part of the Accelerator Hub here in Brighton. Can you just tell us what sort of support you can get there?
It's a programme set up by NatWest, and it supports and helps entrepreneurs develop their businesses. And it's fantastic. It's in itself, it's a great community because there are lots of other companies who are doing the same thing. So you get to share and discuss and get advice about the same problems. But actually, as an entity in itself, it's a fantastic organisation for support.
Mm.
It introduces you to people who might be able to help you. It's a very good sounding board to kind of help you develop your strategy. It's been a great support.
Brilliant news that we've got it right here in the city, because you have to travel in to use it, don't you, as well? So
people
are coming from across the southeast to use the Enterprise
NatWest Accelerator.
That's called.
That's right.
And where can people get hold of History Heroes? How do they find you?
Well, on our website, which is historyheroes.co.uk, we have a list of stockists. I think we do. I think the Jubilee Library Book Lovers store has some History Heroes games.
Oh, good.
And apart from that, good old Amazon and our website.
Super. And Wesley,
yes.
Have you got any events coming up at the Calvary people might want to come along to?
Yes, people can check on our, basically go on our Facebook, basically just to type Calvary International Cafe, Brighton's Home for International, and they can find our events over there.
Great stuff.
And it will take place at 72 Viaduct Road, Brighton, BN1, 4ND.
Great stuff. Hopefully we'll get some more people to come along. Thank you ever so much, both of you, Alex Ehrman from History Heroes and Wesley Goh from the Calvary Cafe here in Brighton. Thanks ever so much for coming on The Business Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb.
If you'd like to pitch on Going Up, email me, natasha.steele@icloud.com, or find us on Twitter and Facebook at Business Reverb. Drop me a line, tell me what you do, and I'll see if we can get you on the show. And here are the Stranglers with No More Heroes. This is the Brighton Business Show, broadcasting from the open markets on 97.2 FM.
Radio Reverb is Brighton's radio station, entirely run by volunteers and firmly rooted in the city's community. We are a non-profit organisation. No adverts, no disc jockeys, just real people. Making radio that Brighton deserves.
And finally on today's Brighton Business Show, I'd like to welcome back Sophie Turton from The Joyful Web. Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Natasha. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. But you predate me on the show because you used to come on when Laura Evans hosted The Business Show.
Yeah, I used to have Sophie's Marketing Mega Tips, which Laura's, the theme tune of which Laura kind of evolved to be cheesier and cheesier as we went along. But yeah, it was every month for about about a year, I think.
Super. Well, we want some more marketing tips from you. Hopefully they'll be mega again.
So mega.
And your company's called The Joyful Web, which sounds wonderful. I'd love to work for a joyful company.
Yeah, it's happy, happy, joy every day, Natasha. The name actually, it comes from, it's me and my business partner, Alice Reeves, and the name comes from just a desire to do things a little bit differently and to change the narratives and the stories that we see on the web to ones that actually mean something and that are positive. And then also because we're looking to bring joy to our clients' lives within their business and also to help them to bring joy to their customer or their clients' lives as well.
Super. So what kinds of trends are you seeing in the marketing space for small businesses at the moment?
So for us, the most important thing really is to be looking a lot more at authentic engagement and communication. When I hear the word marketing and when we talk about marketing, Alice and I a lot more kind of veer towards what we call more intuitive marketing. So it's not what I think people generally think of when they think of digital marketing, which is, you know, getting your website in front of people and driving leads and conversions and sales. And that sort of thing bothers me quite a lot because we're reducing the audience or people to just a number on a spreadsheet often. And it's all just about boosting those numbers. And obviously then that.
So you're talking more quality than quantity in a way. Are you getting to the right people? Are you giving them the right messages? Is it in line with your overall business?
Yeah. And I think also what I'm talking about quality and also authenticity. So I'm talking about what does your business stand for and why? Why did you start it in the first place? And a lot of the time, I think we can get quite caught up in those numbers and caught up in those spreadsheets and caught up in the churn of running a business. Because, you know, especially for a small business who's trying to do absolutely everything themselves, it can become a juggling act that, you know, juggling on a treadmill while also trying to feed your kids. And it's all really, really a lot to deal with. And I think sometimes we can forget why we started in the first place. So what we always do and how we find to build the most powerful marketing strategies or content strategies is to look first at why a business was started and what mission a business is trying to achieve. So what solution your business or your service or your product is trying to offer, and then going back to that why and delivering that based on building a community that actually is driving a mission. Like one of the things that we really enjoy doing, because we work with only with businesses who have a purpose that's outside of selling a product or service. So they're all trying to change something within their industry. So one of the things that we kind of like to do is almost see it as a bit of a revolution. So we're building these communities around a problem. And a lot of the time for our clients anyway, it's a really serious problem that their audiences
have.
Are
you able to give us an example?
So for example, one of our clients is a software company that works with teachers. And they were teachers themselves and they found that they couldn't find the time or that they were spending their whole time trying to balance between the admin and then also trying to do a good job as a teacher. And it was just like being on this constant churn. And, you know, if there's any teachers listening, I'm sure they'll know what that feels like.
Yep, I'm sure they do.
And how that, you know, how that kind of that desperation of being separated from this vocation that you went into in the first place and how much time you're actually spending on admin and you know, bureaucracy and all of that, the kind of box ticking. Anyway, so as a solution to that, they created a software that streamlines all of the pupil progress. Like basically it brings everything together in one place so that teachers are able to actually watch the assessment criteria and analyze where their pupils are across the whole board without all the need for kind of complicated spreadsheets that they have to put together themselves.
Sure.
In their spare time.
So in terms of the marketing piece around that, how would you approach a business like that?
Yeah, so that for us then, that was kind of like, you know, at first it was about bringing teachers back to teaching, and then it was actually more than that. It was about bringing teachers back to the time and the flexibility to not just to teach, but actually to be people too. Because, well, who knew it?
To talk to them about what they're doing in their free
teachers
time
are
as well.
Also teachers. Teachers are also people. So it was all about looking at where the struggles are for those teachers and how we can help support them and how we can show them that we understand what it's like to be constantly in this race against time, essentially. And so then it's like underpinning by this really brilliant piece of software that helps make their job much easier. But it's not just about the software. It's also about understanding how it feels to be in that situation and to give them a bit of support that's not just about buy, sell, you know, sell, 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 buy, buy, buy.
So you can bring that through in the kind of content you write for social media, for websites. Is that what you do?
Yeah. So we, you know, we're doing a video next week. Actually, we're going to be creating a video where we've got some teachers coming down to talk about, you know, their real life struggles that they have, and also to talk about how implementing this software has made a difference in their lives, as personal, you know, in their personal lives, but also as an institution, because a lot of the time the software is rolled out across not just whole schools but whole kind of connections. I mean, a lot of these academies are all kind of interconnected now, and there'll be one person in charge of departments across the whole thing with, you know, unless you have a piece of software like this,
so you've got
visibility.
The wider community, but there's also communities within academy chains, for example.
Yeah,
local
exactly.
Authorities or in within schools even.
Yeah, so I mean, and so this is just a really kind of relatable example, but that's sort of how we look at it, is the wider community and then the micro communities within that, and then identifying problem areas within that those communities and things that actually really matter to the people as individuals, not as just a number on a spreadsheet, and talking to them as individuals and saying, you know, I understand how this feels. This is how we can help you. And then encouraging them to have dialogue around that and actually listening to what they have to say and using their responses to build a conversation that actually means something and isn't just broadcasting.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And, you know, how much, I mean, you were talking earlier about how busy small business people are, teachers are busy, but anyone who runs their own business is also up against it in terms of time. What kind of time and resource do businesses need to apply to something like this? Can you give any guidance on that?
Yeah, so this is where I think it's I think a lot of the time we go about things as a business, because, you know, we are an agency and consultancy who, you know, we also struggle to do our own marketing, and so I completely understand it, and it's about, I think it's about taking a step back and being as focused and targeted and streamlined as you can, and really not just putting stuff out for the sake of it, not just tweeting, Facebook posting, writing blogs just because you think you have to, but actually taking the time to really talk to your community. So what one thing that we found really, really powerful is interviewing the, you know, for example, the teachers, or with other some of our other clients, it would be other audience members or clients or customers that they have, and building that into content, because that actually doesn't take that long. You just write out the interview questions, you send it off, you show that you actually care about what your audience think and what your customers think, because you're actually engaging them in the process. They fill out their answers to the questions, you edit it maybe slightly, and then you promote it out, and then they're also going to be sharing that as well, so you're going to be reaching further communities. So actually, it's just about being kind of smart. Like, it's not working harder, it's working smarter. And just looking for whichever way you possibly can to engage on a human level, rather than, like I said, just assuming that people want to hear this or that people think this, is just ask them.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised how many people are happy to tell you their opinion about things.
That is such brilliant advice. Thanks ever so much for coming in to share that with us. And I think purposeful marketing is something we can all use in our daily lives and in our businesses.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it, isn't it? It's just about looking at it in terms of how you would look at your personal life. Like, things are always more valuable when they are built on connection and genuine understanding. So if you just use that as an ethos for your business, then suddenly everything will start to shift and you'll start to find everything moving a lot quicker and having the results that you're looking for.
And can people find out more about this on your website?
Yes, which will be live probably not too long after this has gone live. We're just under construction at the moment. But when you do go, it's www.thejoyfulweb.com. And yeah, do tweet us at The Joyful Web, and let us know if you've got any great ideas about how you can engage with your audience better.
Sophie, great advice as always. Thank you for coming on the Brighton Business Show. Well, that's it from me. I'd like to thank all my guests in today's show. Sophie Turton, Mark Civola, Steve Creed, Alexandra Ehrman and Wesley Goh. And to you, our listeners, Radio Reverb doesn't have advertising and is dependent on you, for listeners, obviously, for donations and for sponsorship. If you want to get involved with this exciting community project, which is what it is, go to radioreverb.com, make a donation or find out a little bit more. I'll be back next month with another edition of the Brighton Business Show.
There is a repeat, and it just goes on.
Download and listen back to all our best bits. Search for Radio Reverb on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Whatever you're into, we've got it. Listen back to all our shows online, anytime, anywhere. Now playing at radioreverb.com.
And it just goes on.